ओम ज्ञानच निबंधस्य ज्ञानंजन शलाकाय चक्षुर्मीलितं तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
As described in the Brahma Sanghita, that in the spiritual world, the katāgānam nātyam gamanam, speaking is just like singing, and walking is dancing. Because the speaking is very sweet, and everyone is walking, they're so happy. You're dancing when you're happy, so everyone's very happy. So they're dancing in the spiritual world. Bhagavad Gita, the song of God, means it's spoken by Krishna. But here in Bhagavad Gita, we have also some verses spoken by Arjuna. There's also a verse spoken by Dhritarashtra and also some by Sanjay. Mostly verses spoken by Krishna. He is giving the philosophy of the Absolute Truth. But here we see in the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna has summarized everything Krishna has said about his own position. Krishna has spoken how everything emanates from him. If everything emanates from him, aham sarvasya kabhavo matasavam pravartate. If everything emanates from him, then it's understood that everything's also resting in him, and everything also goes back into him. In other words, he is the Absolute Truth. That is Brahma. Brahma means the Absolute Truth. Yatova, anyway, we'll go to that. So everything is spoken by Krishna. What is his position? Matapparataram nanya kinjirasti. There's nothing above him. Nothing equal to him. No one or nothing. No person or no object is equal to or superior to him. This means he is the supreme. In every way it is said. Every way it is stated. Janma karma chame divyam. His appearance and activities are transcendental. Ajopi san avyatma bhutanam ishvaropi san. He comes into this world, prakritim samadhishtaya sambhavami atma mayaya, by his own desire, his own power. He's not forced to take birth as we are forced to take birth. So in every way, Krishna has established himself as supreme. And Arjuna is summarizing this. He said, the disciple should also, it's also good if he can express, not that he's simply sitting and hearing, but he should also express what he's understood. So Arjuna is the disciple. He understood. Yet before he had so many doubts, and now he's accepting, yes. Krishna, you are the supreme. You are Brahma, Param Brahma. Everyone is Brahma. Aham Brahmasmi. I am Brahma, and that means I'm not this body. Everyone is Brahma means everyone is spiritual. But Param Brahma, everyone is Atma, doesn't mean that everyone is Paramatma. Everyone is Brahma, everyone is Atma means everyone is soul. Everyone is Brahma means everyone is spiritual. But not that everyone is Param Brahma or Paramatma. Otherwise, why is the word there Param Brahma? If everyone is Param, then there's no need of such a word. Param means superior to that which is not Param. It means there's a gradation. Param means someone's on top and someone's underneath. So this is not very democratic. It's not. Krishna is not a democrat. He's an autocrat. He is supreme. He's saying, I am supreme. You don't like it? Then you are mudha. Avajananti mam mudha. Manushin tanamashritam param bhavma jananto namabhuta maheshwara. I am Supreme Krishna. You don't like it? That's up to you. But then what do you get? Murha janmani janmani. You're a murha. So again and again you have to take birth in the lower species of life. That is your position. If you don't accept. So Krishna is the Supreme. He's not playing some false games of we're all equal. No. He's giving gradation. Even within human society, he's given gradation. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, there's gradation. In the Shastra you'll find there's gradation of, there is Starvara Jangam, there are moving living beings and non-moving. Among the moving living beings, some are better than others. There are insects and snakes, and there's a gradual gradation up to human beings. And up among human beings, there are civilized and uncivilized. Civilized means those who follow the Vedic principles. And among those who follow the Vedic principles, there are those who are dek mukhyamani. Vedanishtha vade are dek mukhyamani. They simply say, I am a Hindu. But they don't follow anything. So that's not a very elevated position. Then among those who follow the Vedic principles, mostly they are karma nishtha. They're interested in elevation to the heavenly planets. Vedavadarata, they're interested in. Avivang pushpitang vacham, flowery words of the Vedas, how we will go to the heavenly planets and enjoy. Then the more advanced is a jnani who realizes what's the use of going to the heavenly planets, because Tetam bhuktva swagalokam vishala kshine punye matilokam vishala. What's the use? You go up, you come down. So, better get out of this material world. And among the jnanis, there's someone who's interested in renunciation. Among them, there may be someone, koti jnani madde ek bhakta. There may be one devotee of Krishna. So there's a gradation in human society, and above all is Krishna, Parameshwara, Param Brahma, Param Dhamma. So Param Brahma means the absolute truth, and that is qualified Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram Paramam Bhava, Purusham. He is a person. Those who like to think there is some supreme absolute who is impersonal. Arjuna is summarizing the whole existential position of Krishna, which he's trying to make us understand. If we simply understand Krishna is supreme, what should we do? At the end of Gita, Krishna says, Savadhanam parittaja amekam sharanam raja. Surrender to me. Well, how are you going to surrender? Then you have to understand, aham sarvasya prabhavam atasavam pravadati iti matva bhajante maam buddha bhavasana. When you know Krishna is supreme, he is the source of everything, then automatically you're going to surrender. You understand, he's supreme, I'm not supreme. I'm dependent upon him, so why don't I recognize that I'm dependent upon him, and then I'll be in a happy situation. And if you want to be independent, you cannot be independent, but you come under the maya shakti, and then you have to suffer. Just how much suffering we're undertaking, just for the sake of this, I am independent. Just for the sake of maintaining this idea. We have to suffer the kicks of maya, birth after birth, just because of this stubborn pride of thinking, I am independent of Krishna. So sanity means simply to accept, I am dependent. I'm not the controller. Someone is exercising, big strong body, to shine very strong. And then you get some disease, you lose all your strength. Or you may get some accident, some sports stars, they're very active, playing tennis or soccer or something. You get some accident and they can't do it, they can't even walk. Even you take for granted, I'm scratching here, you don't even think. You can't even move your finger if nature doesn't allow you. Some people may have that experience. They get some arthritis, or sciatica, some kind of disease. You can't even move your finger. You're controlled. You're not the controller. So just accept. Yes, Krishna is supreme. That means you have to accept he's a person. There's so many even scholars of Bhagavad Gita. And they use all their intelligence simply to deny that Krishna is a person. Krishna, they're very, maybe very intelligent. And they can explain the scriptures in various ways. But that intelligence is demoniac intelligence if they don't accept Krishna as supreme, the supreme person. They're getting that intelligence from Krishna. Everything comes, aham sarvasya prabhava, everything comes from me. So matasmriti jnanam apohanam cha. Knowledge, remembrance, forgetfulness. So if you want to be a rascal, Krishna will give you the intelligence. You can argue very intelligently. But ultimately what you're saying is not intelligent because it's wrong. Just like you may make some mathematical thesis that 2 plus 2 equals 5. So you can explain it with calculus and algebra in so many ways. And it may seem very intelligent. You may be expert in calculus and trigonometry and so many different things. But if your conclusion is that 2 plus 2 equals 5, it's all nonsense. Despite your ability, you have so many technical knowledge. So much technical knowledge, but if your conclusion is wrong, it's all wrong. Just like it's very popular now, this Titanic. I think it's already gone out of fashion. Everywhere, Titanic. Every year I go to the West, so one year it's dinosaurs, and this year it was Titanic. What's what everyone's interested in? Foolish people. Instead of being interested in Krishna, then one year they're interested in some empire striking back space film. Another year everywhere there's pictures of dinosaurs. And this year it was Titanic. So Titanic means they built some ship, very expertly built. So much engineering skill. Unsinkable ship. Of course it's sunk. They never claim such a thing since. At least they learned that. Unsinkable. So they're thinking, it's so wonderful, we built a ship that sunk, but it sunk. So for all their endeavors, all the technical know-how they put into building the ship, it all became useless because it sunk. So like that, you may be a very expert scholar of philosophy, very big brand, Shika and big Tilak and so many things. But if you don't accept that Krishna is the supreme absolute truth, you miss the whole point. So Arjuna has come to the point. He's summarized Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, this is as important as what Krishna says. There are different types of Krishna katha. There is Krishnasya katha, what Krishna personally speaks. And there is Krishna Vishaya Katha, that which is spoken by others about Krishna. So both are equally important if what is spoken about Krishna is spoken by a pure devotee of Krishna. There are so many people who speak in Krishna Katha, but that we should not even listen to because it's just like poison. How is that possible? Krishna Katha, how can it be poison? Because the example is given, just like milk. If you drink milk, it's supposed to be very good food. But nowadays it's full of all kinds of hormones and who knows what. But basically, milk is supposed to be a very good food. And if you drink it, it's very healthy. But if that same milk is in the glass and some snake comes and poisonous snake drinks it, then if that whole milk, it may look the same, taste the same, but instead of getting nourishment, you become poisoned. So in the same way, avaishnavam akorgyanam putam harikatam ritam shravanam naiva kartavya sarpo chishta yathapayam. Example is given that an avaishnav, if you hear harikata from him, it's just like taking milk, which is very nourishing, but it becomes changed by the touch of the poisonous lips of the serpent. So if someone is not a Vaishnav, we shouldn't hear Harikatha. And then you would say, who is not a Vaishnav? There may be many Vaishnavs, apparently Vaishnav. But they're not actually Vaishnavs. They may be abortion doctors. I was just on Sunday, I was speaking to some man from a nice Pushtimag family, but he's rich by abortion. So we don't want to hear Harikatha from him. Or there may be someone else. We'll find many people, even in the traditional Vaishnava Sampradayas of India. I see many of you may be related to Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. I've seen people, nice Sri Vaishnava Tilak, chanting Sri Sukta. You talk philosophy with them, they're absolutely Mayavad. They don't accept Krishna's supreme, or they're going to some of them are going to this Baba, some Baba. And that means they don't know any philosophy. They haven't understood that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, why would they make such a gross mistake to mistake some nonsense as God? It means they don't know what is the nature of God. They haven't heard properly. Why do they take up such a thing? Because they're envious of Krishna. So real Vaishnava means who is not envious of Krishna, who has heard from Parampara Vaishnava, who follows that, who accepts that. Who accepts Bhagavad Gita, Sarvameta Kritangmanye Yamnam Vadasi Keshava. Arjuna, he is the ideal student of Bhagavad Gita, he is the ideal Vaishnava, because he simply accepts everything that Krishna says. He doesn't challenge. Krishna says, Mataparataram Nanyat Kinjiras, that I am supreme. Arjuna doesn't challenge. What is this? How am I to... If there's any doubt, he asks. But he's not envious of Krishna. That Krishna told Arjuna, I'm telling this to you because you're not envious of me. Who is envious of Krishna, he cannot understand who is Krishna. Even he may be apparently a Vaishnava, or if he has some other motive, let me become rich by speaking Harikatha, let me become famous, then you can't get any benefit from hearing from such a person, because Krishna will not manifest himself in the words of such a person. Even he may quote Shastra, he may tell stories of Krishna, he may be very entertaining, but Krishna will not manifest himself. Krishna is within our hearts. So, that dimbhagyan hride prakashita, that spiritual knowledge is to be manifested within the heart. What is that spiritual knowledge? Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram Paramambhava. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purusham Shashvatam Divyam. Purusham Paramam Divyam. In Gita, Krishna described that Supreme, Eternal Person. So that knowledge will be manifested in the heart by the grace of Krishna. By the grace of Guru and Krishna. So that takes place when someone is very sincere to understand Krishna. Otherwise it won't happen. Either if you hear from someone who's not properly explaining, or if you yourself are not eager to hear, if you don't want to accept, then you won't understand. You can read Bhagavad Gita 1,000 times. There's people, they know the whole Bhagavad Gita. They can chant all the verses backwards, forwards. Yeah, there's one famous guru in North India, his disciples, they can chant all the verses backwards also. Means not Vibhum Majam Deva Matna. They'll start with the last verse of a chapter and then go to the previous verse. Inside out, they know. But do they accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead? No. What is the use? They don't want to understand. It's simply some kind of show. Puri book or something. You may use. Something like this, how to public speaking or how to develop self-confidence, all these kind of psychological, you don't need. Best psychological book is Bhagavad Gita. Because then you understand, who am I? I'm the servant of Krishna. Indriyani pranayaho indriyavya parangmana manasas tu parabhudhe yobhudhe paratastusa. You understand, I'm spirit soul. I'm not the body, I'm not the mind, I'm not the senses, I'm not the intellect. So then you, any problem like depression or lack of self-confidence, anything like that, that automatically will go away. Then if you have public speaking, you can learn. You learn gradually, you speak about Krishna. There are so many books on public speaking. Our devotees, they never learn, they never study. They heard Bhagavatam and they speak. And Krishna gives you the intelligence what to say. That's all. When a person attains moksha, what happens to the parents of all the janmas? Do they attain moksha too, or only his last parents get moksha? Well, there are different kinds of moksha. If you become a Vaishnav, then you can deliver many generations of your family, upwards and downwards. But if you get this impersonal liberation, that's not even proper liberation. That's only half liberation. It's only temporary. It's like you're being beaten with sticks, and for some time you stop being beaten with sticks, and then after some time they again throw you. Yenyu yurvindaksha vimukta maninas. Trayasta Bhavat Avishuddha Buddhaya Aruhya Krishrena Parang Padam Tata Patantiyato Anarita Yushwarangraya. Those who think they're liberated, they, with great difficulty and austerity, come to the semi-liberated position of impersonal Brahman. But because they neglect to worship Krishna, because they are envious of Krishna, they fall down again. But a Vaishnava, he liberates so many generations. Prahlad Maharaj was told by Nrisimhadev that 14 generations of your family are liberated. So, depending on the power of your bhakti, you may deliver so many generations. How can one become a demigod? Yanti Deva Vrata Deva, you worship the demigods. You can become a demigod. We're not interested in this, so I'll say no more about that. Better worship Krishna. When every person is Brahma, why people are fighting on religion? Because they forgot. They're thinking, I am this body. They're not realized. When you understand, I am Brahma, then you don't fight. You worship Krishna. You mentioned about visiting the beach, of course not with beer, as visiting to a place of stool, with or without beer. But then swimming is one of the Vaishnava sports. For the benefit of keeping the body fit to serve the Lord, we go regularly to the beach and swim, at the same time chant 16 rounds and other recommended processes. Kindly clarify whether we are in the right understanding. I don't know whether you're in the right understanding or not. Many times we may think I'm doing, for the service of Krishna I'm doing. You have to see what is actually your motive. If it's pure motive, then very nice. If not, be careful. Krishna consciousness is also enjoyable. You can also swim, but then if you forget Krishna, then it's all useless. The relation of Saraswati to Lakshmi is similar to the relationship of pure science to applied science. Please explain. Sorry. Don't know anything about that one. In the West, Christians are getting converted into Hindus. In India, Hindus are converting into Christians due to paucity of cash. Why is it so? Yes, if a Christian is getting converted into a Hindu, then he goes from the Maya of thinking I'm a Christian to the Maya of thinking I'm a Hindu. And if a Hindu gets converted to a Christian, he goes from the Maya of thinking I'm a Hindu to the Maya of thinking I'm a Christian. So why is it so? It's all going on under the aegis of Maya. That's all. It's due to the same thing, forgetting Krishna. When you become Krishna conscious, then you understand, I'm not Hindu, Christian, Muslim, nothing. I'm a servant of Krishna. So that's all for now. Let's chant Hare Krishna. But study. Maybe some kind of piety is there. But the real result of studying Bhagavad Gita should be that just as Arjuna surrenders to Krishna, we should surrender. What does Arjuna say at the end of Gita? Nashto moha smritiya labdha tat prasadam maya achyuta. He says that now all my illusion is gone. I got my memory back. Yes, I am your servant. By your mercy, I've understood what I'm supposed to do. Now I'm fixed. All my doubts are gone. Therefore, I shall do as you say. So the real result of reading Bhagavad Gita or hearing Bhagavad Gita is that all our doubts should be clear. What are our doubts? We are doubting that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and I am His servant. When that doubt is cleared, then we become fixed, sthitasmi. We become fixed in our position of understanding. Krishna is Supreme. And then what do? We follow Krishna's instruction. What is Krhrishna's instruction? Manmana bhagavan bhagto, adhyaji maam namaste, satatam kirte yamitoma, lamanusvara yudhyacha, bhaktya maam avijanati. To worship Krishna, form His devotional service. Is what Krishna says. This is the test. Who has understood Bhagavad Gita? Not simply so many shlokas and bogus interpretations. But this, what is the fact? To accept Krishna as supreme. This is very difficult for those who have contaminated consciousness. Even they may be great yogis, sitting in the Himalayas for so many years. They will do so many austerities, which is very difficult. But there's something they cannot do which is too difficult for them. What is that? To accept that Krishna is supreme. They'll do big austerities and get some yogic city. But they won't accept, it's too difficult because they have so much ahankar. Ahankara vimudhatma katamiti manyate. I'm doing big austerities. But this, they can sit in the snow. They can hold their breath. They can give up eating. So many things, big yogis. Now you don't find it. But accept that Krishna is the supreme. No, that's too difficult. Therefore, a devotee, he accepts Krishna is supreme. He doesn't have to do all these austerities. Because he already came to the point of all austerities. Aradito yadi haris tapasatatakim. Naradito yadi haris tapasatatakim. If you worship Krishna, if you accept him as param brahma, param dhamma, then what is the use of performing? There's no use to perform so many austerities. And if you perform so many austerities but you don't worship Krishna, then what's the use of performing so many austerities? It's all useless. So either way, there's no need to perform all these austerities. Either you're worshipping Krishna, then you don't need to perform austerities. And then if you are performing austerities but you don't worship Krishna, it's all useless. So either way, there's no point. The point is, aradito yadi, to aradhanam, Krishna, Hari, aradhanam sarvesham, Vishnur aradhanam param. This is the essence, and even more secret. Asmat paratulam devi, tadiyanam samachanam, to worship the tadiya, that which is in relation to Krishna, his devotees. So this is the point. Arjuna is expressing succinctly what Krishna is explaining throughout the whole Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, what Arjuna says, that is as important as what Krishna says. This is accepted as Shastra. We accept Bhagavad Gita because it is spoken by Bhagavan. Nasvayam padmanabhasya mukha padmanabhinisrita. This is the essence of all Shastras because it's directly spoken by the original Narayana, Krishna. So that is the essence of all Shastra. And here in the essence of all Shastra, we find the devotee of Krishna, he is giving the essence of the essence. Krishna is always giving more important thing to, more important position to his devotees. So what Krishna has explained in various ways, Arjuna has summarized exactly. Param Brahma, you are the Supreme Absolute Truth. How can he say? Krishna already said, Aham Sarvasya Prabhava. Everything comes from me. So that is the meaning of Brahma. Brahma means that from which everything comes. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Vedanta Sutra says, now you got this human form of life, don't waste it. Now you should inquire about Brahma, the absolute truth. What is that? Then the next sutra? Janmadhyasyataha. The absolute truth is the source of all emanations. Janma Adi. Janma Adi means Srishti Stiti Pralay. Everything is coming from the Absolute Truth. Everything rests in the Absolute Truth. And everything enters again. That is all these statements of the Vedanta Sutra. They are based on the Upanishadic references. That is explained in the Taittiriya Upanishad. Yatova imani bhutani jayanti. That from which everything emanates. Yena jatani jivanti. That in which everything exists. Yat prayat yavisang vishanti. That in which everything again enters. Tad vijigyasasta. That is the point to be inquired about. Atato brahma jigyasa. Tad brahmeti. That is Brahma. That is the Supreme Absolute Truth. This is described in the Upanishads, in the Vedanta Sutra, the Absolute Truth. And here in Gita, Krishna says, Aham Sarvasya Prabhava, everything comes from me. Everything means, everything comes from him, everything also goes into him, everything rests in him. That he's explaining in various ways. Mayada kshaya prakriti suyate sacharaja. Hetunanena kante. Jagadvi paribhattate. That by my, under my control, everything is coming into being. Everything exists in him. Ayatatam idam sarvam jagat avyaktamurtina. Astani sarvabhutani. Nacham teshurasutta. Everything exists in him. He is within everything. Yet he is aloof from everything. How is that possible? That is possible. How is it that he is in everything, yet everything is not in him? How is it possible? That's only possible because he is Brahma, because he is the supreme absolute truth. Materially it's not possible. How can you explain? He is in everything, yet he is aloof from everything. Everything is not within him. It seems contradictory. But it's not contradictory because he is the supreme absolute truth in which everything is reconciled. It's not possible to, you can't explain it by material means. There's no scope, telescope, microscope, periscope, this scope, that scope. You can't measure Krishna. Mother Yashoda wanted to tie him up. Bring more rope. It's too short. Bring more. Bring more. It's always too short. How is it possible? Because he's unlimited. The whole universe is within him. All the universes enter into his body. And how are you going to put a string around him? It's not possible. But eventually she tied him, not by measuring him by rope, but by bhakti bhadam, he's tied up by the love of his devotees. So that's another mystery. The impersonalists, they will say, oh, Bhagavatam is only stories. That's only for less intelligent people. They don't know. It's when you go beyond your material intelligence of thinking aham brahmasmi, then Brahma is purusham shashvatam divyam. He is the supreme person. And if he's the supreme person, what is he doing? He's not just sitting down and chanting Om like you. He's got better things to do. He's enjoying different pastimes. He's the supreme absolute truth. So what is the supreme absolute truth doing? He's enjoying wonderful pastimes. Person means he's personal. Impersonal means simply what? Nothing. That's what they think. Just impersonal. No personality. Suicide philosophy. A person means he has activity, likes and dislikes. You're a person, you have likes and dislikes. So he also has likes and dislikes. But then you'll think, well, how is that Brahma? Because Brahma is all-pervading, it's neutral. Yeah, he's neutral, but he's also partial. How is that possible? That's him. That's the way he is. That's the nature of the absolute truth. And you can't understand by your mundane intelligence. Samaham sarva bhuteshu name dveshu stinapri yevijam dichavam vantya maiteteshu chapiyaham. Krishna says, I'm equal to everyone. I favor no one, I know one, I hate no one. And the next thing he says, but I like my devotees more. And how is that? That's it. He's equal to everyone. But he likes his devotees more. How is that? That is his impartiality. Means everyone can be his devotee. He doesn't say, you can't be my devotee. Everyone has an equal chance to be his devotee. He's giving the opportunity. But if you do come forward, then he accepts, just like the state. Just to give an example, in the state, then all citizens are treated equally. There's a basic platform of equality. But if you violate the laws of the state, you get treated by the state in one way. You get thrown in prison. And if you perform some heroic activity on the battlefield, fighting for the state, you get honored. You get given a medal. So it's up to you. The law is equal to everyone. But if you break the law, you get treated equally by the law. That means whoever breaks the law is thrown in prison. And whoever performs activities for the benefit of the state, they are honored. So it's up to you which way you want to go. So this, Param Brahma, he is a person. It's very, very difficult for the non-devotee. They can't understand. So much of Gita is, Krishna is making this point, that he is the person. But those who are non-devotee, they can't understand. Because why, Krishna says, he uses what you might say, not very pleasant language, to say that avajananti mam vuha. Param Bhavana Jananta, Mama Bhuta Maheshwara. Because they're fools and rascals, they can't understand. That is the fact. They can't understand because they have wrong mentality. But if you simply change your mentality, become pious, then you can understand Krishna. He'll gradually reveal himself to you. It's all a matter of consciousness. We're talking about Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means to be conscious that Krishna is Param Brahma, Param Dharma, Pavitram, Paramam Bhavan. That is Krishna. Krishna consciousness, simply to accept this fact, it's a very, very, very simple thing. But those who are non-devotees or those who are materially inclined, they can't understand. Even you explain, sometimes people come to us, how shall we explain this to Christians or Muslims? What they're going to, they're unfortunate, impious, if they have different concept. Oh, why is God being so nasty to me because I love him, but he simply causes so many troubles. You think Krishna consciousness means you offer two other buddies in the morning and then he has to come and fan you for the rest of their life? Krishna consciousness means to be conscious, he is supreme, I am his servant. He can do with me whatever I like, whatever he likes. Not that I should be served by him. That's the mundane concept of religion. That you perform some, you do some, you give some money or something, and then God blesses you. And you enjoy them. My job is to be very pious and give some donation, and then God will arrange that I can live happily in this world. But Krishna consciousness is not religion in that sense. That is called cheating religion, kaitav dharma, in which you simply approach God, God make me happy in this material world. Anyone who preaches like that, he's also a cheater, because this material world is not a place of happiness. So Krishna consciousness means to be conscious that we don't belong in this material world. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he very nicely described that this material world is just like a ditch into which people pass through. He's gone. So he can, that's his analysis. What is this place? What are you doing here? Why are you trying to be happy? Now today is a holiday. So people are going for picnics. So they may, where shall we go to be happy? Let's go to a ditch full of stool and we'll go there. Okay? No one thinks. They think, let us go to the beach. But that's just the same. It's just like a ditch full of stool because your consciousness is like that. Drink some beers, not here in Ajman, I'm told. Lie on the beach. It's hellish consciousness. What Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says? Hellish consciousness. If you're not conscious of Krishna, and it's just covered consciousness, conditional consciousness. There are two kinds of consciousness, conditional consciousness, constitutional consciousness. Conditioned consciousness, even religion. Let me worship God and he will make me enjoy life. It's actually a hellish mentality. So Krishna consciousness means awakening to our real consciousness. We're not the body, the eternal servants of Krishna, who is the Supreme Absolute Truth, the Supreme Person. And one who takes to Krishna consciousness, they become joyful because they come out of this hellish way of thinking that I am the enjoyer. And simply understand, Krishna is the enjoyer. How to become happy? People are writing so many books. How to get ahead, how to improve your business, how to be healthy, how to pass your exams. There are so many books giving you ideas how to repair your own car so you don't have to spend so much money to some cheater who repairs it in such a way that it breaks again in 2 weeks and you have to come back again. So how to save money, how to invest money. So many books, how to help you in this material world. But it's all useless because you can't be happy. So there's only one thing. You don't need millions of books. You just take this one book and take this instruction. Ekam Shastram Devaki Putra Gita. Take this one book, Bhagavad Gita, and you get all your other books, you can use them to make chapati, to make a nice fire. All useless. Eko mantras, tasya namani yani. You don't have to go here, there, this, that, scratch your head, what to do. Chant Hare Krishna. Study Bhagavad Gita. understand Krishna is the Supreme Absolute Truth Personality of Godhead. That's all. That's all you have to do. It's so simple. And if you do, then you get the same result as Arjuna, which is Manmana Bhavavantato Matyaji Mang Namastu Nale Vaishasi Satyante Pratijane Priyasi. You go back home, back to Krishna. And even in this life, you're happy. Doesn't matter. You may be Raja, or you may be beggar. But if you're chanting Krishna, then your life is successful, your life is permanent. And if you're not chanting Hare Krishna, then Raja Haleyo Shava Manga Chaitanya. Even if you're big king, this, that, all useless. Everything is useless. So, conclusion is, chant Hare Krishna. Alright? Chant Hare Krishna, surrender to Krishna, Raja Krishna, Bolo Krishna, Karo Krishna Shikha, and take prasada. So, very simple. Big philosophy, and conclusion, chant Hare Krishna, surrender to Krishna. So either you can go through, you can read millions of books, and if you don't become totally confused, then Bhavanam Janmanam Ante Gyanavam Mam Prapatit Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahat. If you don't become completely confused, you'll surrender to Krishna after reading millions of books of philosophy. But otherwise, you don't have to go through many, many lives. You can immediately do it. Immediately accept Vasudeva Krishna is all in all and surrender to him. So better do it now. Shubhasha Shigram. So the most auspicious thing is to surrender to Krishna. So better do it sooner than later. There's no time like the present. Time management. There are another books. Time to manage your time. So how to manage your time means you should chant Hare Krishna 24 hours a day. That's the best use of your time. And anything else, it's all a waste of time. That's all. Hare Krishna. Any questions? No question. Okay, everything's clear. That's good.
But if you give the people of Dubai, they come, if they are shores, they have come here to find a living. We give them some idea as to how they can perform their day-to-day core as well as their breath as some responsibility, which is no doubt, Krishna conscious way. Can we give them some idea?
How to live in Dubai and be Krishna conscious? How to perform your Grihastha duties? Well,
some practical hints.
Practical hint means, you have to spend time for sadhana, Krishna bhakti sadhana. You have to put time aside. You have to see what is your priority of life. If we are living here, we are earning money to support our families, this and that, but that is not the ultimate goal of life. And yesterday I was saying, we have constitutional activities and conditional activities. So conditional activities you cannot give up, but at the same time, you shouldn't let your conditional activities be your only activities. Because then you remain conditioned in this material world. You have to spend time for Krishna. You have to put time aside. Everyone is spending time for watching TV, this, that. Don't do that. Chant Hare Krishna. Put time aside. Maharaj, why should one get initiated? Is it not enough that he practices regulated principles, attend lectures of gurus like you, and abide by the instruction? Well, one of the instructions is you should take initiation. So if you abide by the instruction, you should get initiated. What is the reason for that? What is the reason? You can, if you like, you can ask Krishna. He made this system. He made the system that you have to become a devotee of the devotee. Not directly. Jump up. You have to get trained. Training means you have to accept, you have to become submissive. Take guidance and accept that I don't know where I'm going. I need someone to guide me. So what is that accepting guru means? Tad vidipani patena pariprasnena sevaya upadakshyanti tegan gyaninas tad vidarshan. So there are three things. There is humbling oneself. Anyone can say, I'm surrendered to Krishna. Yes, and Krishna's in my heart and he's telling me to do this. You may think, I know what to do, but Guru will tell you, you don't know. You do this. So it means you have to take directly instruction from someone. Otherwise, you can imagine anything that Krishna is telling you. Krishna's representative of the spirit is the spiritual master. Then you have to ask questions. You simply read the book. What will you understand? You have to have it explained. And seva. Seva means reciprocation. By the reciprocation of service, then Krishna consciousness awakens. That someone surrenders to the devotee engages in service under the guidance of a devotee, then the knowledge of Krishna consciousness is awakened in the heart. Otherwise, unless you make that commitment, then you may remain on the theoretical platform, but you won't advance properly. What is the significance of an initiated name? We have been having the Lord's name only as our name. Initiated names are the Lord's name also. E.g., I am Venkatesh. Can be called Venkatesh Das, and not necessary to change the name to Madhav Das and so on. Well, that's what you think. But if you take initiation and your guru decides, then you have to accept that. That's the point. You may think, I think this, I think that, but you accept a guru and he says, stop thinking so many things, and I'll tell you. Venkatesh is a very good name for Krishna. But you should have the name Venkatesh Das. If you think I'm Venkatesh, you're in a lot of trouble. You should become Venkatesh Das. That's the good name for you. If a person is initiated through a particular guru and later develops a warm relationship, so is that true with another guru whom he meets regularly? First of all, get a guru. Then we'll see about other things later. Other questions? Soul is situated in the heart. What happens when the heart transplant takes place? Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Vridesha Junatishtati. That the Supreme Lord is present with the soul, Vridesh, in the area of the heart. Doesn't mean he's somewhere in the tubes, in the blood. He's in the area of the heart. So the heart is transplanted, but the soul remains in the same area. When a person is in a coma, how can he think of Krishna? He can't. Coma is result of sinful activity. What do you mean by surrender? Surrender means anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya vajanam rakshishati tivishvaso gotridvevalanam tata atma nikshepa kalpa nyeshadvithasharanavanti. To perform activities which are favorable for advancing Krishna consciousness. To give up activities which are not favorable. For instance, it's favorable in devotional service to chant Hare Krishna, so you should do that. It's not favorable to remain attached to demigods, so you don't do that. So anukulya as a sankalpa, pratikulya. To have firm faith that Krishna will protect me. To depend only upon Krishna, not going here, there and everywhere else. To engage oneself, mind, body and words in the service of Krishna and to maintain a humble attitude. And doing our daily routine, how do we surrender? And you offer everything to Krishna. You offer your life to Krishna. So whatever you do, you should think, I'm only doing this because my ultimate goal of life is to serve Krishna. Just like if your daily routine is to look after your children, you should think, I'm looking after these children only so that I can train them in the service of Krishna. Is this the outmaster? I mean, all of these questions could be answered with long answers, but there are so many Krishnas. What is the rationale behind Krishna expecting everybody to worship him or chant his name? The rationale is that he's God, he's supreme, and he says so. And if we do that, he's pleased. And we get benefited. You don't want to do, you don't have to. He doesn't have to justify himself to anybody. He's an autocrat, as I was saying in the class. He's not a democrat, he's an autocrat. He's a transcendental autocrat. Means, what he tells us to do is for our benefit. That's out of envy, we don't like to serve him, we don't like to chant his name. But if we do that, we will be benefited. Not that Krishna will be benefited. He doesn't get any benefit from our serving him. But we will be benefited if we serve him. Krishna is the cause of all causes. Why did he let other religions such as Islam or Christianity to develop? Other religions means, ultimately religion is one, religion means to follow the instructions of God. In Islam and Christianity, they're also teaching that. That is, given different times and places, the message of God is spoken in different times and places by different messengers of God, different avatars of God, according to the ability of the people at that time to understand. So Islam is presented in a certain time and place and circumstance, according to the capacity of the people to accept. Similarly with Christianity and with any other form of religion. But what is the topmost religion? What is the topmost religion? What is, then you may take that as another sectarian idea. What does Bhagavatam say? Savai pung sang paro dharmo yato bhaktir dhokshashe aitu kati pratihata yayama superseded. So you know the verse, but when you're asked, you don't know. You have to know how to use it also. Otherwise, you see, it's simply you're learning, but how, when someone asks you a question, what are you going to say? You have to know how to utilize in the proper circumstance. So the topmost religion is that to the